Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 391 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Jim.
Jim, welcome to the show. Your little Zoom bar that no one can see at home because it's an audio podcast says Jim in Portland. So you come to us all the way from Portland, Oregon. How's it going out there?
As well as we can come to you at this point, I think, you know, amidst insurrection and fire, we're still standing and doing well.
I was going to say, Lindsay, from the podcasting perspective, how's it going where you are? That just because of where Jim is, that is one of the most loaded questions you have ever asked on the show.
It's almost like sometimes I know what I'm doing, right? You know, I just kind of wanted to see him pivot, you know, the literal hellfire that's going on there to trivia, because obviously that's not a trivial matter, but this show is. So, Jim, what's your favorite part about hosting trivia?
Oh, easily it's the people that I get to know. I know that sound, I'm sure that's a stock answer, but especially online the last couple of months, getting to meet people from across the country and their different backgrounds, their different interests. And just, I'm a pretty quiet guy outside of the world of trivia, but when I host, the best me comes out. This is the most fun version of me. And so I get to put myself out there and other people do the same. And just getting to meet these interesting, awesome people is a blast. And also the ability to tell really awful jokes that may or may not land, but they're worth a try. So
that you're perfect for this podcast. So we'll get along very, very famously. Also, Jim does host regularly on the We Don't Know Either Live Facebook group. So make sure you go there. We'll make sure we put that link in the link dump, but We Don't Know Either Live. You should be able to remember it very easily because it's also the name of this podcast. So Michael, you haven't said anything yet beside your name. You're going to start with your first question fact thing.
Wonderful. I'm going to go ahead and break one of our traditional behind the curtain rules.
Oh,
because it is one of my favorite times of year. And not a lot of people know this. Well, if you know me at all, you know this. I truly believe there are only two seasons across the year. There is football season, and then there is waiting for football season.
Which, you know, you as a Chargers fan means you get about 3 or 4 good weeks of football season, and then you're just waiting for the next year.
Well, I play fantasy too, so that helps make up the depression that comes with being a Chargers fan. But on that note, as a matter of fact, I went kind of a little bit down the rabbit hole of playoff droughts, teams that haven't been to the playoffs or the Super Bowl or something like that.
The Seattle Mariners. No, I'm just kidding.
I got to be honest. Lindsay is correct. The Seattle Mariners have never been to
never made the NFL playoffs. Yeah.
No, we always ask that question because they've had the longest drought across all of sports ever. And, you know, they just are going to lean full into the Kraken.
Yeah. Right. So, but I started getting into Super Bowl droughts and I was like, okay, let's be honest. I'm trying to find facts that maybe Nick won't get immediately. That's what I try to do.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, the number of teams that have never won a Super Bowl, Nick can probably get that. So I thought, oh, let's break it down by division. So my question is this, which NFL division is the longest without a Super Bowl win?
Ooh. The divisional question.
Divisional question.
So I'm going to definitely say not the AFC East. So that's just what I'm going to say.
Solid. Wait, guess.
You mean the AFC West?
The East, because the Patriots is what my joke was.
Oh, got it. I thought you were going AFC West because the Chiefs won last year.
That too.
That also would have been a very good joke, but I just kind of went the longer term
Sure.
Yeah, we're in the same range. So we just eliminated what, a quarter of the options, right?
You did.
Quarter of the options.
Yeah. Good Nick, math. That was some quick math there. You want to talk about fractions? I got fractions. Okay.
All right, so
Jim,
else?
What are you thinking? Yeah.
Wow. There are some perennial powerhouses, but I'm trying to remember in my head, when was the last time they won? Like, I know the Saints won a few years ago. I know the Steelers won when I say a few years ago, it might've even been 10 years ago at this point. I don't remember.
What is time?
That was one of the things I looked up is
the Packers. I know they've got one in there, but I'm just like trying to remember the order of everything. As a native New Englander, I'm glad to say that I've ruined it for, or I didn't personally, although if people want to blame me for it, it wouldn't be the first time. That sort of skewed my timeline on so many things. Oh, boy.
All right.
Go for it, Nick.
AFC East, we've got the Patriots. They've won a billion times. So throw out the East, like Lindsay said. The West, the Chiefs won last year, so we don't have to think about them. The AFC North, the Browns and Bengals have not won anything recently or, you know, at all. But the Ravens, did the Ravens win the last Ravens, the Harbaugh Bowl? The Ravens won that game, right?
That was forever ago.
I mean, I was in this house, so it's in the last 10 years.
Again, forever ago.
Well, it was during the Flacco years, so it's right. Relatively recent past.
So, yeah. So
2013 was the last. Right.
Okay, so 7 years ago. So we'll throw out the AFC North. And then the AFC South is interesting because the Texans have never won. The Titans have never won. The Jaguars have never won. And the Colts have won, but they won during the Peyton Manning years, which is now going on 13 or 14 years ago. So we can hold the AFC South for a second.
It's definitely not the NFC East because the Eagles just won recently.
Right. And the Giants won two against the Patriots in the last 12 years or whatever that was.
Thanks for the three reminders there, guys.
Yeah.
Three of those.
What's it like to be a realistic question? What's it like to be a Patriots fan? Like now that Brady and Gronk and all that they've all moved to Florida. What's that like?
Twilight zone. We also know that this year, like I think 7 or 8 players, some of them very prominent, have decided to sit out the season. So the defense is going to take a big hit too.
Edelman's one of them, right?
We're playing for, we're playing for like a draft pick this year. So
But it's the Patriots.
Hey, this is not a football podcast. We're trying to figure out some playoff droughts here, people. Yeah. Okay, so we think that the AFC South is kind of our top pick.
Yes.
We eliminated the NFC East, so we got the North, South, and West of the NFC. Well, what are we thinking?
The North is the Packers, so Rodgers won a Super Bowl, so that's out. The West is the Seahawks, so I'm going to say they're out because they won recently, didn't they? Or was that 12 years ago?
No one knows what time is.
I think we're in one of those like last 12. I'm either going to say it's the NFC West with the Seahawks as the last winner, the South with the Saints as the last winner with Drew Brees, or the...
That was forever ago, though, I feel like now.
That's what I'm saying, is that I think that was like 2007, 2008, and I'm betting that's the longest to go. So I'm going to say the NFC South with the Saints being the last winner. But the West with the Seahawks and the AFC South with the Colts are going to be close behind.
I'm going to say AFC South. I feel like that Colts one was a little bit... I think the Colts one was before the Seahawks one. And it's the Manning era. So that would be my pick.
Okay.
I was going to guess either of those, so I'm going to just win no matter what. I'm an all-time Q, baby.
All right, Michael.
Wait, I wasn't 100% clear what Lindsay's guess was.
Both.
Okay. Just checking. Well, in that case, I guess Jim and Lindsay are correct.
Yeah, let's
the AFC
go.
South, 13 years ago was the Colts win. 13 years ago. Nick, yours was the second at 10 years ago with the Saints. And then it was right down the list, like you said. Packers were 9 years ago. Ravens were 7. Seahawks 6. And then the last 3, Eagles, Patriots, and Chiefs.
Yep.
Wow.
So I think as far as a trivia question on this podcast goes, not only did we get the right answer as a team, right? Because this is a team sport, obviously. But that may be the first time we've had an interesting fact where all of us knew a lot. And we're all over it. So I'm very proud of us as a team. That was a good win for all of us.
And I'm very impressed how Nick has just included himself in the correct group. He's just like, oh, no, we did great. You were still wrong.
No. Team game. Team game.
Michael, well done. That's a great, great fact.
I'm just happy football's back.
Who's got a segue from football happiness divisions? Nick, Jim, me.
So... you talk about football, and of course, one of the big topics of football in the offseason was Pat Mahomes' $500 million contract that he signed, right? He's the $500 million man. And talking about, you know, how much a human body is worth, There was an article in Wired a couple of years ago about the value of your body, the value of a human body based on its sale price of constituent parts.
Oh.
So if you were to take your body and divide it up into like its most valuable pieces, like the premise for this article came from the value of the chemical elements within your body, right? So there's like $6 worth of phosphorus or $8 worth of potassium that's in your body, that if you were to extract the potassium, you could sell it for $8 on the open market. But the premise for the article was, if you did not break it all the way down to the chemical elements, if you stopped just short where you would sell off like your lungs and your liver and your kidneys and your bone marrow, what is the total value of your human body based on the value of its constituent parts? Yeah.
I wish I had paid closer attention, but I remember this article coming out, and I'm throwing a number out, and I think it was like $20 million.
$20 million. Okay.
For this bag of sack that I have? Right now? No way.
Michael's sitting there going, sold.
Yeah. Man, just take a leg and I'll take the five.
Okay. I have no idea what like the market value of organs are, and knock on wood, I hope that I don't ever have to know that information. But
for the non-visual people, Lindsay knocked on her head when she said knock on wood. So we know the skull's probably not worth as much.
Yeah, it's not worth quite as much. And also, Nick, is this like American healthcare prices or is this global healthcare prices? Because those are like two very, very different numbers.
You know what?
Yeah, the black market.
Yeah. Funny enough, it doesn't say whether it's the national black market or the international black market. I think that's just an assumption that's made, is that it's obviously worldwide.
Okay. So I think I did an interesting fact a while ago that was about the value of a human life from a life perspective of what the U.S. government values a human life at. And I think that was like 13 million. I would imagine that's more measured on like economic participation. I don't know what the technical term is.
Sure.
But I feel like that's a good starting point. So, but I think it's a little bit less than that, because I think the organs, you know, there's a lot of risk involved in like, will they match with your body? I'm thinking like the going rate of a heart maybe is like 100K. That seems right. So I'm going to say 7 million.
7 million. Okay.
Which doesn't make sense if I said a heart was 100K, but I'm feeling like each lung you get 100K. I don't know. You know, an eye's got to be up there. So, yeah, I'm going to say $7
million. Okay, $7 million. So we got $20 million out of Jim, $7 million out of Lindsay.
I'm doing some very macabre math in my head. So, for example, like a brain. Like I'm the way I'm thinking about this is, if you are going to piece your body out, what are pieces that people can use? And for what utility? So stuff like the heart, the liver, the kidneys, the kind of things that you can, as an organ donor, for example, put into other people. Those strike me as the more expensive pieces. I think 100K for a heart weirdly is undervaluing it. I was going to put it closer to $250,000.
Well, okay.
Just because I think that's one of those things. Lungs, I'd say about $100,000 a piece.
We're just wildly throwing out.
Yeah, no, this is like
real quick.
Let me throw my next dart.
Right. All of a sudden, your lung doesn't work. How much are you willing to give up in order to get functional lungs?
Right. I've got like $12 in my wallet.
Yeah,
$12 good. I think that's my range.
That's all I got. So yes or no? Are you taking it or not? What are you doing this?
Let me throw my dart. Hang on. Oh, nope. That's a two. Liver's going to be worth 20,000. So eyes, I don't know if that's something you can transplant. I honestly don't know.
I don't know. They didn't mention that to me when I had my retina surgery.
I was going to say, Lindsay, you might be more on top of this than anybody else, but yeah. If you didn't even talk about eye transplant.
They were just like, hopefully the surgery goes well. You might be blind in an eye. Okay, bye. Have fun. And I was like, okay.
Because I think the glass eye industry is still alive and kicking.
Okay, so. We've all seen Pirates of the Caribbean 1, okay? We know that the glass eye industry is booming.
That was a wooden eye. Yeah.
It was wooden? Oh, shoot. Yeah.
That was the whole joke.
Yeah.
Shoot. It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
It's Splinters.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's embarrassing for me.
I'm going to say, even though I think Lindsay undervalued the heart, I'm going to go under her guess. I'm going to say 5 million.
5 mil? And what was Jim's?
20.
20,
5, and 7. Nick, who is closest?
All right. Well, Jim is closest without going over. So big win for Jim. He is now 2 for 2 on today's podcast. Which
dang, Jim, coming in.
Jim, if you go 3 for 3, that means you replace me and you have to be on every episode from here forward.
Your brain is way more valuable than all of ours.
Well, I mean, no offense to my coworkers and my regular day job, but this is a lot more fun. And I would do that in a heartbeat. If you want to take over my job and I'll take over that one, at least for a week.
Just see how it goes. Yeah, yeah, it works out. So you all were a little bit high. It says your lungs are worth $58,200 each on the open market.
Okay.
So that's that. The heart will get you about $57,000. And your kidneys are good for $91,400 as a pair, which I don't know why they calculated that as a pair, but the lungs as individuals.
Yeah, roughly 45, 46 for each kidney.
Roughly. And then it goes into really some really interesting math because your liver has a market value of $54,100. However, some pieces of the constituents of your liver, there's roughly about 22 grams of transferrin, which is something that your body uses to process iron. And transferrin is worth $18,900 per gram. So the transferrin in your liver is worth about $420,000 by itself. So you're much better off extracting the transferrin, throwing away your lousy liver, because we all know, especially during quarantine, it's not worth nearly as much now that it was beforehand. and just getting the $420 million. The most expensive piece of your body is your bone marrow, which is worth about $23 million by itself.
Oh, shoot. I didn't know that.
For a full body's worth of bone marrow?
For a full body's worth of bone marrow, it's worth about
$23 million. What about a standard donor's worth?
Less than $23 million.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So the total market value of a human body is $45,618,575.82.
Well, it's that 82 cents that really puts it over.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that this is a valuable lesson, though, and Nick and Jim and Michael and myself, is a valuable lesson in self-esteem. You are worth more than you think you are. And you need to believe that. You need to know it. And you are worth it. And that's going to be the secret phrase. You are worth it.
Oh, it's such a good secret phrase.
I'm feeling it today. Jim, what was that secret phrase I just said?
Oh my God.
Okay, your brain amount has just gone down.
Yeah.
Oh, it was questionable to begin with. It was like... If I had to rank all my, like, my toenails are worth more than my brain. My distraction these days is moment to moment. I don't even remember what podcast I'm on or what chair I'm on.
Who's talking?
The apartment I'm in.
That is very clear, but it's you are worth it is the secret phrase. You are worth it. So,
Jim, worth it.
Yeah, we're going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. So you need to make a segue from Nick's human body value to your interesting fact. Go get him.
All right. Well, the segue would have been easier coming out of the first question because mine's actually a little sports related.
Oh, sports. I didn't know.
So I will say one of the things about hosting that I love is that I don't actually have to write the questions myself. That is a thankless job. And I want to take a moment now, if I can, to thank our writers because holy moly, do they do a great job. Yeah. I mean, as much as I laugh sometimes about some of the questions and how weird they are, I would not want to do that job, and they do a fantastic work. So anyway, I'll retroactively segue out of out of Michael's. My question is about sports, and but not about teams. It's about an individual player, and it's not football. It's a baseball question.
Baseball.
So. Because it is baseball for, even if it's weird watching cardboard cutouts in the stand and hearing piped in sounds, I'm still a fan and I always will be a fan. And so here's my question. Hopefully it's not too easy, I fear. Jackie Robinson's number 42 was retired by every Major League Baseball team, and now no team can use it at all. Aside from Robinson, after Jackie Robinson, which Major League Baseball player's number has been retired by the most teams?
Ooh, good question. I thought you were going to, I got really excited because I thought you were going to ask a question I knew the answer to, which was, who is the last person to wear number 42? Because it was Mariano Rivera. Yeah, they retired 42 across the league, but Rivera was already wearing it. So everybody who was already wearing it, yeah, was grandfathered in. And then Rivera like went on to play for another 27 or 35 or 74 yeah. years or whatever it was. And yeah, so he just retired. Just again, time is meaningless these days. He retired in like 2012 or 2013 or 15 or whatever it was. So it was only recently that 42 was removed from baseball
altogether. Yeah.
So that being said, on Jackie Robinson Day, he got to wear his own uniform. So
I have a question about your question.
Yeah.
Is it the number or is it specifically the player?
The player.
Okay, so not like a different team retired the number because of a different player.
No, we're looking for a specific player who played on multiple teams, and those teams retired his number.
Okay.
When he played with it. So it may or may not be the same number itself, but we're looking for the player.
All right, so Ruth played for two teams. He wore number three for both of them.
I feel like it's somebody that's more than two teams.
Yeah, but they also had to be good.
Yeah. What's his face? That guy that everybody knows about. You know what I'm talking about?
That guy, Lou Gehrig. Mickey Mantle.
No, yeah, I mean that guy. Yes, he's the luckiest man on earth. We know. sorry, I'm not dismissing Lou Gehrig. I'm just, that was not where my brain was, and I'm frustrated because my brain is like Jim's brain at the moment. Maybe it's contagious what's happening where I can't pull out what words are and names of people. So I'm going to just.
You are worth it.
Yeah, but I am worth it. So I'm going to respectfully back it up and let Michael take this one for now.
So you want the player, not the number, right?
The player, not the number. And okay, I can give modest hints if someone might need one, but I think it's more fun to try to guess without first.
I have two players in mind. Baseball is not really my sport. I enjoy baseball, but not on the level that I know football, for example. I'm going to say, just because I think he played for more teams, I'm going to say Griffey.
Senior or junior?
Ken Griffey Jr.
Junior, okay. He played with the Reds and the White Sox.
Mariners.
And the Mariners, of course. Mm-hmm. Did he play for a fourth? I know he played for those three for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Nick guess, and then I'll drop in my second guess, too.
No, go ahead, because I still got nothing.
My other thought was Randy Johnson.
Interesting choice. Dominant with Seattle and Arizona, the Expos. I think he started up in Montreal.
Right.
Also, we cannot forget about that bird, RIP.
Yeah. Still one of the greatest videos in baseball.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm being a serious, somber moment. That was like, what a way to go. I mean, that's a quick out. Yeah, we'll make sure to put that in the link dump. But Jim, I want to get to my facts. So I think Nick's, we're just throwing him out. He's got nothing, right?
Like Clemens.
Robert. Okay.
Yeah. Clemens is good.
Clemens, all right.
Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah.
Jim, what's the answer?
Correct answer. Clemens was on the right path, but not the right guy. Very similar guy. Nolan Ryan.
Oh.
Nolan Ryan, who is one of my all-time favorite players. He played for four teams. He came up with the Mets. The Mets is the only of his teams that did not retire his number.
The Astros,
the Rangers, and the California Angels retired Nolan Ryan's number. He played 27 seasons. He debuted when he was 19 years old. He retired when he was 46. He struck out over
everybody.
Players, 47 yeah. Hall of Famers, not counting pitchers, and I believe 8 or 9 father-son combinations.
Oh,
so
wow.
Just ridiculous career. And Nolan Ryan, after Jackie Robinson, Nolan Ryan has his number retired by the most teams.
I can't believe I didn't pull Nolan Ryan out of
and
that. I'm an Angels fan, too.
He did it without banging on trash cans, which is by far the most impressive part.
Oh, absolutely.
Nolan Ryan could probably go back in the majors today and strike out a half a dozen people in a game. He's 70 years old. He's a physical marvel. And like, if zombie Nolan Ryan ever comes back, I'm that guy, because he will take you down.
Yeah.
Jim, me and Nick have had this conversation. If you are in the batter's box against a Nolan Ryan in his peak, like kind of a Strasburg type of pitcher, and you have one at bat against that person, you're going down swinging, right?
My best, like, honestly, my best chance would be like Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. Find a helmet, put the shield down, and just guess. You're not going to do any better with your eyes open. Just like, the force and try, because, yeah, it's just not going
to
work.
I've always said my best bet is to lean in. That's my only shot to get on base.
As your quick as those balls come.
As much money after that ball.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't be worth much less. All right, okay, Lindsay. Well,
yeah, so my segue. So, Jim, you talked about baseball players. And the fun thing about baseball players is that they are people. And oftentimes you want to recognize people, and you do so by making statues of them. So my fact is about the world's biggest statue, the world's tallest statue. That is a segue, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you. Bum, 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 bum. So anyway, my my question is about the world's tallest statue. And I would like to know, in feet, how much taller it is than the Statue of Liberty. So I'm giving you a point of reference, the Statue of Liberty as a height. So how much taller is the world's tallest statue than the Statue of Liberty?
Is this base to top, or is this?
This is the Statue of Liberty base to top, correct.
How about the tallest statue? Because you haven't given us that. I have a guess of what it is.
It is the commonly recognized height of this statue. So I don't know enough about it to know base situation. But if you Googled height of this statue, this is the number that would come up on all the lists.
Can I guess the statue and we can go from there?
Yeah.
Can I answer the question I think I know?
Okay.
Yes. I think it's Christ the Redeemer, isn't it, in Brazil?
Not even close.
No. Christ the Redeemer is only about 100 feet tall. It's a good guess, but it's only about 100 feet tall. The Statue of Liberty is like three times that.
That's why I was asking about base to top, whether like the mountain counted.
Oh, so you're going by like atmospheric height. Yeah. No, I
wasn't sure if building it on top of a mountain counts.
You know what, Michael? You're probably technically correct. It is probably atmospherically the highest statue, except for that little one that guy left on Everest. So that one, right. That one's technically the highest.
It is Christ the Redeemer is 98 feet tall, by the way. And on the list of tallest statues, it's 131st. And the Statue of Liberty is not close to that. It is 49th.
I think we can eliminate the duplicate Statue of Liberty that's in Paris.
So you guys need to figure out what the tallest statue is and how tall it is, and how tall is the Statue of Liberty. So go.
All right. I'm going to throw out a statue of Kim Il-sung, a North Korean statue. And I'm going to say it's 800 feet tall, and it's 500 feet taller than the Statue of Liberty.
Okay, Jim, what are you thinking?
For some reason, the first thing that popped into my head is I could have sworn I read something about a statue of Lenin somewhere in Russia. And I'm going to guess I'm going to say it's 150 feet taller, and that's pulled straight out of my butt. I have absolutely no reason to believe that that's correct, other than you asked me to go next, and so I'm giving you that.
150. Okay, Michael, what do you got?
Michael's got nothing. I'm trying to think of different ways. I know there's a statue of Buddha laying on its side that's ridiculously long, but it's not. I don't believe it would be super tall. I don't think it's more than 50 feet tall, maybe. I'm pulling out, by the way, everything I have said up till this point is the extent of my statue knowledge. I have tapped that reservoir. It is dry. So for roundness sake, I will say 250 feet.
250 feet. Okay. So I will tell you that the Statue of Liberty is 151 feet. Do any of you want to change your answers?
I do. I'm going to say 150 feet now.
100, so twice the size.
You know what?
Okay.
You know what? Just because I think it's going to be fun, I'm going to take Michael's previous answer of 250 feet.
Okay, 250. All right. Michael's saying 150 feet. And Jim, are you changing or you keep him?
No, I'm staying where I am. What I always tell my teams when they're playing with me is that if you have a gut feeling and you change it, that's when you're going to be wrong most often. So stick with what your initial impression is and your odds are better.
Yeah, Nick should have listened to your advice because he would have been the closest with his 500-foot guess. So it's actually 446 feet taller than the Statue of Liberty. So the tallest statue in the world, it was just finished and completed in 2018. So it's relatively new. It took years and years and years to build. It's in India. It's called the Statue of Unity, and it's 597 feet tall. And if you look and do a quick Google on this, we'll make sure to put images in the link down. The scale of this thing is just insane. It is absolutely unbelievably huge and massive. 597 feet tall, Statue of Liberty, only 151. So that 446 is the answer that we were looking for. A bonus fun fact, the next tallest statue is a Spring Temple Buddha in China, and that was only 420 feet. So this tallest statue in the world took the record by a vast margin from the second tallest statue in the world. And then for reference, for the DC folks that are listening in, we know that the Washington Monument is 550 feet tall. So picture the Washington Monument plus an additional 40 feet and a giant person, and you have the Statue of Liberty, the Statue of Unity.
I would like to point out that Lindsay said number two was a statue of Buddha, so I'd like partial credit.
But it was, yeah, well, I mean, I guess you get no credit, but you were like kind of close to something. But
I get anyway. My credit.
The Statue of Unity looks like the kind of creature that would come alive in an old Ray Harryhausen movie.
Oh, 100%.
It would just come down and destroy a small town at a mountain base or something. It's
right. This is like when you look up and there you have nothing but an orange sky and a lightning storm. That's definitely coming to life.
I just appreciate that they put like the wrinkles in the pants, and I appreciate the detail because those wrinkles are probably big enough that you could sit and have lunch on them. But we've learned some things today. We got to wrap it up. We're over time. Jim, thank you for joining us. Be sure to check Jim out on the We Don't Know Either Live Facebook group. And of course, this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Jim.
And we don't know either.
Bye.